Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock in London and it's 12 o'clock in Eastern Time, Canada. And I'm sure our guest will let us know where he is and what time it is in his part of the world. My guest this week is Pat Kramer, CEO since 2014, I believe, of BDO Canada. Pat and I spent a lot of time together in his early as he began, not began at BDO, he's been there a very long time, but began in that role as chief executive. And he's certainly had an interesting time of it the last year, as we all have. I'm really fascinated to hear his perspective on how that's been for his firm, for Canada, for our global audience, but also his thoughts on, as the show title talks about around leadership, what comes next. So, Pat, it's an absolute pleasure to see you.
Tom, great to see you again. You're talking about those early days when we worked together on a number of things as I was entering my journey as the new CEO of BDO Canada. And a lot of fond memories about those conversations we had along the way. And by the way, I'm calling from Calgary, so it's 10 a.m. It's 10 a.m. here in Calgary.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, it's still morning for me, but good to see you.
Cool. So, yeah, tell us a little. The floor is yours, so it's very open.
Sure. I've been in this role for a number of years, and you go through this journey of being the CEO with objectives in mind and spending time on vision, as you know, culture and values and those types of building blocks. Building strategy that made sense for our business and achieving things and tweaking things along the way. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. And I had decades of experience in a whole bunch of areas, of, as you know, recessions and those types of business type issues that come and go from time to time. But, of course, none of us anticipated this to this degree. So it was a really interesting March last year. We connected not long after that, but it was it was a real challenge at the time because of just a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And we have a business of over 4,000 people in our organization, over 100 locations here in Canada, 475 partners, and they required leadership. So it was a very interesting time back then, and I learned a lot, Tom, as you'd expect that I would, and I should. I'm very, very pleased. We did a lot of things we did, but we certainly learned and tried many, many things along the way. So a lot of learnings. If I just share maybe just
absolutely.
A couple of things
that we had. I'd love to hear that.
In 2020, I think the key thing that I did with good advice from people that I trust is to stay close to my values. Mm-hmm. And leading with values really set the stage for our firm going forward and making the right choices. So the first thing that I did was anchoring all decisions of the firm around the health and safety of our people and our clients and our community. And it actually made it easier, Tom, I got to say, because when you anchor decisions around that, then you really start to move forward in the right way. And because especially during a health crisis and with the economic consequences of a health crisis, it really helped us along the way. And the team was galvanized around it and we really moved forward. One of the second things is I had to be front and center all the time during these times. And it's the requirement of being a leader, of course, to be front and center. You can't shrink in this at this time. You have to be there along the way. And I'm sure you've heard this from many people. Communication, we amped up communication in every possible way, not just to communicate, but to find ways to listen, Tom. Mm-hmm. We employ more surveys than we ever had. But we had Q&A sessions and those types of things with our people and our partners throughout all of last year. And basic questions were asked, some really important questions, and people asked the same question time and time again. Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because they were really, there was fear. We were in the early days, fear, anxiety. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with those emotions of our people. So it was really an interesting time, but the communication piece was fundamental to help just calm the waters a bit along the way. And then, of course, it was just extreme focus. And then executing on what you decide to do. These are, Tom, you know, these are basic principles of leadership, but we forget those things, right? Mm-hmm. And focus is absolutely crucial. Pick the things that matter and do those things. Mm-hmm. And if it don't quite work, then you do something else and you execute on that. Like, there's ways. And that was our path to success. And as a result of that, I believe that energy around was actually galvanizing for our people and our partners, because they saw the path. They saw a path forward, and it really helped us along the way to get people engaged, and they could see that the incremental progress that we made through the year was making a difference along the way. And we held true to our values, which is our fundamental piece that just kept, I believe, the energy, but also our people, which were so critical for us to help us along the way. We needed them to be part of the solutions that we needed to do. And they became, because they knew that, and I repeated this over and again, it's about you. You know, it's about your well-being. It's about making sure we create safety mechanisms, about what we can do to manage this together. And it was really about the team. So a lot of things in that particular period, Tom, and I built a big list of all sorts of learnings that we had in 2020, so that we continue to look at it, that would help guide us partially as the months continue, because we're clearly into a zone right now where there's still persistent uncertainty about when so some of these things start to finish, or the beginning of the end in some cases. It's still, the uncertainty is still there. And I know you see that in the UK.
Sure.
You had a lot of issues, but worldwide issues, and we've got a lot of things to solve here in Canada too. So we're going to continue doing a lot of these things, of course, but there's other things that concern me more now, to be honest, about what's going to happen and what will or could happen in 21 and beyond.
That's a great segue. And before we go there, first of all, as you'd imagine, I kind of love everything you just said about the focus on the phrase you used again and again, our people, and using it as an anchor, which made it easier. There is the two areas for me come up to sort of ask you to reflect a little. Well, one's less about reflection. As you may know, I'm really fascinated by looking at leadership in different spheres and seeing how they can connect, whether it's elite athletes. But another area is I'm interested in how the British Army has transformed in the last 20, 30 years. Fundamentally, from a command and control where all the answers sit with the chief executive, etc., and they've adopted a concept called mission command. And it's kind of, the words don't really mean anything in and of themselves, but my interpretation of it is give the people the skills and then empower them in the field of combat. So if you're in an armored truck going through Kabul a number of years ago, and you're a very, very junior soldier with his first command of two or three people, a lance corporal or corporal, right, you can't wait to get on the radio to an officer. You have to be able to act. And so when you anchor on something as simple as health and safety, and I know you'll have had certain very key focus points to plan and implement, that leads on to kind of the second point, is one of my earlier guests on this show last year is my friend Chris Van der Kyle, who, is an entrepreneur and is very philanthropic around education now. And he wishes that the education system would innovate more. He's not alone in that wish. And what he was talking about, one of the things he said is, well, teachers are professionals. They never put children at risk, right? From a health and safety standpoint or anything else. And school inspectors come in every year to the school. And what he'd like to see in schools is that every teacher has to take one risk every year with the way they teach and not have it be career limiting. You know, that phrase that now is in HR, a career limiting move. And so the idea is they get measured on, did you take a risk? And only one of two things can happen in a binary world. It either didn't work or it did work. And he says, if it did work, let's learn from it. And if it didn't work, let's learn from it. So whatever happened, it's the report back. And what did you learn? Now, these are the troops on the front line, if you will. These are the soldiers in the grade schools and high schools. So I guess what comes around to me is, as you're already looking ahead, well, looking in the present or looking ahead to what has your organization learned? What have you and your leadership team learned? Given you were communicating all the way, finding all these ways to listen, getting the Q&As, having all the engagement surveys, having people galvanized by knowing what the focus of the company was, right? What have you learned? You know, maybe give one or two examples of what have you learned from the people on the ground that didn't come from the top but came from elsewhere? And then perhaps what have you learned about listening?
A lot. And I need to continue to listen more. That's what I want. The biggest learnings that, you know, you taught us some really interesting thoughts there. I think, you know, our profession, okay, so we're in a profession, so we're not an army, but we are a profession of people, and just various disciplines within it. And it's a people, no questions. It's fundamentally about our people. And we're, a lot of us are accountants, clearly, but not all. And we have a very diverse practice, but this profession is in need of big change. And I'll just give you an example. I was just on a call actually last night with the CEOs of the major firms here in Canada. And we were talking to the CEOs of the provincial CPA institutes across the country as well, and other leaders. And we're not a very agile profession. And our education systems have been building in time over decades and decades since I was a young student. And we haven't refocused it enough. And to be an agile profession, to think about what the skills are needed for today and in the future. And we just keep on adding instead of subtracting, if you know what I mean. And you need to have focus about what the curriculum needs to be for those types of things. But as a profession, especially with advance and specifically on the pandemic, one of the biggest issues today that I see is flexibility. Because people, we're in this work from home environment, more or less. We certainly are here. And that's not going away for a bunch of reasons, which are good reasons. We were stuck in thinking this 9 to 5 plus Monday through Friday in the office work environment is the path to all success forever. And it's not. And we've learned things, valuable lessons through the pandemic that's teaching us things that's finally starting to break that mold. And people are now saying, man, I hate this pandemic, but I sure like flexibility. Mm-hmm. And I like the way I can live my life differently with my family, with whoever. But I still want to have connections, deep connections with the place I work. And those are things we have to solve for as a profession and as an organization. And we have responsibly do whatever we can and can't. Those are some things that are very present today because we're going through our traditional busy season on, as you know, where we ask our people to work more hours. And I do believe pandemic and working during this time does give a sense of purpose. No question about that, because it keeps them busy during a time when we can get through this. And I think there's arguments for that. But they sure need flexibility because they're dealing with kid issues, their personal lines and so forth that need to be dealt with in such a way. And they don't need to be in the office. So understanding this and this challenge, when I had a conversation again last night, is that flexibility question has to be solved for to provide flexibility for our people in a meaningful way, to provide meaningful, purposeful work that's interesting to do and that's relevant today. And we learned a lot in 2020, didn't we, about inclusion and diversity. Mm-hmm. And those things also come to the equation on top of this pandemic. So when I look forward, Tom, I look at a combination of things which demand our profession to shift, mm-hmm. and to move forward. And I'm excited about that because I think it's all positive ultimately. Mm-hmm. But it also leads into all sorts of things. What can we do here in our BDO Canada world that we can, mm-hmm. and that we need to focus on, as leaders to help, make those things happen. So it's been a huge learning opportunity. And yeah, we've made some mistakes along the way, as you talked about. Man, we tried things and didn't quite work out. We tried other things and it did work out. And right. And I think that's the thing. It's that, what does innovation mean to you and me? And it's about making mistakes, the freedom to make mistakes, right? It's the freedom to do those things, and be okay with it. And then but it's hard in our profession, Tom, as you know.
Yes.
Because mistakes, that an auditor makes or a tax accountant makes aren't a good thing. But a mistake in doing things differently is a good thing in an innovative culture. Mm-hmm. And that is important, that we have to build this and have that freedom to allow ourselves to learn from those types of things. Otherwise we don't grow, we don't advance. And this pandemic has taught us that we need to adapt and move fast. We need to be more agile. We need to do those things. So innovation is a key solution to making these things happen. And you need a strong team to help you get where you need to go, which is another thing I would always say, you need people around you, because you're not going to have all the ideas. They're going to have the ideas, and you need a team.
I mean, that's really the piece I was going to, and just to give it a different spin of emphasis. You say a really important piece around the freedom to make mistakes. So, you know, Tom's definition of innovation is nothing to do with technology. It's about doing different things, doing things differently.
Yeah.
But you mentioned a really critical bit that I take as a given, but it's really all too uncommon in certain professions. As you know, I'm a recovering chartered accountant too. My joke I make in front of accountants. Things tend to be regimented because you can't afford to get your tax return wrong. You can't afford to mess up on the audit. But what my friend Chris was talking about a while ago was actually, is taking away the freedom not to try something new, right? It's almost like imposing upon people the need to innovate as part of their yes. how they're measured and appraised. And innovation, some people are going to find it really scary just to use a different color pen, right?
I think I know some of those people, yes.
Right. Other people will be, using the Reid Hoffman phrase of an entrepreneur, somebody who builds a plane while flying, you know. So there's a spectrum of that.
Yeah.
So, but to come back to kind of, I'm a firm believer in the fact that this, no matter the quality of the leadership, and what you've said is just evincing high quality leadership from yourself and your team. It's really, there's 4,000 leaders in your organization in over 100 locations.
Yeah.
What learning that came from somewhere other than, say, national office might surprised you and pleased you? You know, have you got any particular ones that can now be adapted? You know, there'll be so many.
Well, you talked about letting leaders lead. And as you say, we got 4,000 plus leaders in our firm that all have a role here. And in a profession that is very quick to judge, you know, this is what we do. We assess and judge on things. It is a cultural, fundamental, developing a culture to allow that to happen. That takes time and work, okay? It doesn't just happen. You can't just put it on a sign on a door and say, this is what we do now. It has to be promoted by my leadership to do that, of course. We all have a role as leaders to do that. And then make it happen and ingrain it a part of our culture. So, and there are so many things you can do. So just examples of things that we've done in our firm. I'll just give you one example is that as we go through the digital transformation process in our business, which is a lot of start and stop, and there's some failures along the way to try new things continually. We put in a digital office and we put in a And we tied things into our performance management systems so that we reward people for doing things that are outside the box. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we want them to do that. So we put this in our performance management system and we encourage people to do that. We create contests and those types of things. So this is just the way we are. That's just the way that who we are at the firm. And we want people to do this. We celebrate those new ideas and those things that we're doing. And we got work to do in that area too as well. We're not perfect, but we're trying these things. But ingraining it into your performance management systems and a part of your culture is what it's all about. Because right. That's the sustainability piece of any strategic thing you want to do. If you put it in, embedded in part of your culture, then it takes hold. And then you start to move forward with that. So, again, we've got things to learn and to make sure we continue to do it better. But I think we've done that. I think we're doing that. And it's working. And it's, and the journey of digital transformation is so much easier now, I believe, because part of those things, I've also believed the pandemic had a lot to do with adoption and adapting to technology differently too. But a combination of those things, I think, are important. Culture and working on culture, I think that the early things that we did, you know, years ago and then we continue to sustain are really critical for any organization. Just work at it, nurture that culture piece, and so that you do bring an innovation mindset.
It's fantastic. I pick up the patience of building that foundation.
It takes time.
You know, you're a young man and a BDO Canada lifer, pretty much. And 6 years in a row. And you mentioned to me before that it's the centenary of the Canadian firm. Right?
Yes, we're celebrating in 2021.
So many things to celebrate in the first 90 plus years, and the speed of change in the world has been crazy fast since the internet, and then the mobile phone, and then online accounting, and then the pandemic reminds me of the phrase from the Russian Revolution that war is the locomotive of history, and it's been like that. And so with that, having interrupted your segue, I know you talked about a couple of the next things, but what's your thought on having reflected on the last year? What's next?
Oh, well, there's so much on the go, and the strategy of your organization needs to be relevant for today and the future. Mm-hmm. And I think that having a strategy that is iterative, which I think is something that is music to your ears, Tom, because you know, a 5-year strategic plan, how relevant is that these days when you continually see that the perpetual shifting and changing and of all sorts of things that are impacting. So ensuring your strategy is adjusting and built to adjust, right? Mm-hmm. It needs to be so that it supports that, right? So you can continue to revise and do the things you need to do. I think it's just absolutely fundamental. So making sure that piece is right, because people during these times of uncertainty, Tom and I, is that they want to see a path forward. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They want to believe in that path. They want to believe in that. And that's what strategy is all about, right? But bringing and presenting that, but it's got to be relevant. And if it's not believable or if it's pie in the sky, it has to be. And so and this is where communication and so forth comes in too, bringing them into the conversation about what it means, the big why.
Right.
You know, you and I know how important that is to, mm-hmm. for people to believe in where you're going forward. Then understanding the why is just a critical element of that. Mm-hmm. And that's so the strategic piece of it is really important and getting that piece at all times, because people want confidence right now, especially with the uncertainty that exists. Yeah. And there's fear, there's anxiety, there's all sorts of things. So confidence there too, but there's a whole host of other things.
Yeah, if we just talk around that in generality for people rather than, you know, asking you about your strategy for your firm for 2021, but you, the way you put it around the strategy that's built to adjust, that's iterative. And, you know, I talked to you years ago about this idea of strategic plans not lasting long. But it's fascinating because what you said at the beginning of the conversation is that you said, let's lead from values and let's focus on our people, our clients, our community, and focus on health and safety. The I would very much imagine over the last 9-10 months, that's anchored in more than ever. And as you spoke to me offline before, I mean, the firm has actually ultimately thrived commercially, but driven from these values, right? Which is great to see. And therefore, as you're in 2021, we remain in a period of great uncertainty. There's also still all of the underlying changes that will impacting your profession and the economy and the world and, you know, Robin Hood and GameStop and everything else. You know,
yeah, just, new things. Yeah.
Unpredictable things happening. But I would imagine, so I think your model you're looking for is that we need to see certainty in times of uncertainty. And that's a clear and simple path forward. And effectively, I would imagine it's like, if you had a strategy that worked last year, iterate and do another one. And by the way, it might not even last a year. It's like, if it's at a high level, it's we're going to continue to look after our people and our clients, and we're going to continue to innovate, and we're going to continue to listen. Those seem like some great foundations for pretty much any leadership, any chief executive, any leadership team. Cool stuff.
Yeah. And I wasn't just me with the teams, that I had, my teams, our senior leadership teams, our board was involved, and it's amazing what the crisis did to bring people together, but we had to create the forums to make that happen, and the communication pieces were part of that. But to get the buy-in about going forward on these things requires a tremendous amount of communication pieces that, because I've answered the same question multiple times. Mm-hmm. And so do my team members too, my leaders. Why the questions keep coming up? Because they're scared. There's anxiousness. There's fear. There's those types of things. I just want to get, reassurances all the time. And that's the key piece about having a strong path that they believe in, but working on the communication piece all the time, Tom, along the way. And you know what? When I talk about the values piece, you can't sugarcoat it. You know, you got to be honest with your people, and you have to be authentic in the way you talk about these things so that they understand the reality that we're in, because if there's any sense of that, you're going to lose the room. I think that's a real, we talk about trust, right? I think how people, believe in their leaders or believe in their organization, the ones that are challenged are probably ones that don't have a lot of trust. And you need to get that, and you need to build on it. Trust is earned, as you know. And it's not, and you can lose trust very easily. So trust has been, I think, really important. And I think we've done a lot to help, you know, not perfectly, absolutely not perfectly, but really stay true to that piece along the way, because that's what people are looking for. Can I trust my leaders? And in the path forward, you know, you can believe in segments of strategy here and there, but it's, you know, we're a people business, and we need to ensure that piece is absolutely fundamental there.
That's perfect. So let me just, I'm going to pick up, there's so many things in here that are great. There's one thing I want to key in on, is a key thing I'd like to reflect on that you said for me, and then I'd like to let you have the final word, as I do with all my guests. And it was something simple but really important in terms of leading people, is that people want to do meaningful, purposeful, relevant, and interesting work. Now, you're in a profession where many of your staff are either accountants or work around accountancy, and lots of it. You do consultancy and stuff otherwise.
Yes.
But fundamentally, that's an industry that, as we've known for many years, is in a real state of change. Right? Yes. So actually, whatever the profession is, ultimately, if you can have meaningful, purposeful, relevant, interesting work, and if your people know that you're looking to provide that to the talent, the people you have, then that's simple but important. So that's just my reflection. And yeah. I will leave you a minute or two to just wrap up for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad you picked up on those things, Tom. when I think about our core purpose as an organization, okay, and I think this is something that I spent a lot of time on a few years back as we were working through culture and values and those types of things. Our mission is people helping people achieve their dreams. Mm-hmm. That's our mission. That's our core purpose. Binds us together and say, what are we doing? And my belief is that we do this every day because we have clients that need us for all sorts of reasons. And the pandemic showed this in spades. We have a real role in helping our clients along their way because they do have dreams. They have dreams to grow, to build, to be part of the community, to give to others, all sorts of things. And we are a key part of that. And recognizing that we are almost their first person they would always call on at times of need, you know, that's an important role. Like, that's a big, big thing. I believe that to my bones here. It's fundamental to who we are as an organization, but also how we work with our people. Because mm-hmm. we have a role to help them achieve their dreams to being, you know, to grow, develop, to learn. To be the kind of person that they want to be, we have a real role with that. I think that's been fundamental for us along the way, that when you have a strong core purpose or a mission in your organization, it binds your group together so that you can, when challenges like the pandemic occur, hopefully these things don't happen, but when things happen, that is fundamental to who you are and who we are as an organization, because we do make a huge difference to so many people. Mm-hmm. And that creates meaning and that creates purpose for them, especially during these times of need. So if I was to leave you with that, Tom, I think that, you know, there's strategies great, but you can't do without strong fundamental things with related to culture and the values being a key part of that. But also your mission and your core purpose as an organization that keeps it moving forward. And then, and people will feel very tied to that and will do amazing things even during these crazy, crazy times that we live in today.
So if I was in Canada and I was looking, if I was the kind of person who wanted meaningful, purposeful, relevant, interesting work, and I was looking for a professional services organization to work with, I think I might well look at one that has a core purpose of people helping people achieve their dreams. Mm-hmm. And
I think so too.
and I kind of have a little bit of goosebumps here. I mean, this is like, I'm breaking my rule by speaking off my guest, but, you know, it's amazing. It's great to see this. And from when you and I first met in London in, I think, November 2013, you knew you were stepping into the role about 6 months later. And it's great to see how BDO became through yourself and the people around you and that leadership across the firm, the firm is in a position to not derail those dreams, right, because of the pandemic, but actually just go into 2021 still anchored on that purpose, still anchored on those behaviors and values. So it's great to hear. So. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Pat. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope that your communications team managed to get this out to a lot of your 4,000 people so they can hear their CEO say things that might be from a slightly different angle from before and be even further galvanized. So.
Well, thank you, Tom. Great to connect with you once again, as always. That's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Take care. Be safe. Healthy.